Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to the book of John, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I'm going to have you turn after you find that and you put something there, maybe the bulletin or one of those little ribbons that they put in your Bible so you can hold your place and turn over with me to Romans chapter number 10. John chapter 15 this morning. Say, preacher, you know, John is the apostle. I put on the sign some things about love. Been trying to focus this month, not just on the love of God, but love found in the scripture. And the title of this morning's message for the tape room and for everybody else. And I will seek, I don't know whether this is going to be very as preachy as I would like it to be. And it may be more of a Bible study, but anytime we're in the Bible, we ought to learn. We ought to take some things from it. But just the title this morning, A Conditional Relationship Full of Unconditional Love. A Conditional Relationship Full of Unconditional Love. Even in the title itself, I hope that you can take and understand that, folks, I want you to understand that there's a lot of ifs found in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we'll find 10 ifs. Now, the relationship that we enter into in salvation is completely predicated upon the work of Jesus Christ. Okay? Everything. The foundation that I'm going to try to lay this morning to help you understand that this salvation is not of works. It's not conditional upon my works. It was completely conditional upon my acceptance of what Jesus has done and the finished work of Calvary, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was conditional. I could not have a home in heaven unless He had come and paid my way. If He had not taken care of everything that needed to be taken care of, I was incapable of fulfilling the conditions that were needed to save me. You were unable, physically without strength. Your righteousness is filthy rags. You could never come to a place where you could earn salvation. So Jesus came and earned it for you. And in John chapter number 10, if you'll hold your place in John 15, I'm sorry, in Romans chapter number 10, I want to read the scripture to you so you can see it yourself. And I may read more. I'd love to read more, but we'll get to this and teach it on Wednesday night. But I want you to see the condition of how you receive Jesus Christ. In chapter 10 and verse 9, it says that if we're going to spend all our day here with a lot of ifs here. And, you know, while you say the whole day, preacher, don't get upset. I'll get you out by lunch sometime. Well, lunch will come after, okay? So, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The condition is faith. We've been preaching on Wednesday night that it was faith of Abraham, and he was righteousness of God was put upon his account because he believed by faith what God said. God came and fulfilled. He told him he would, and Abraham believed in the future of what God would do. Now we look back and believe on what God has done, how he's paid for us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. You know, you don't just get it because you are a human. God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that doesn't mean every sinner will be saved because he's a sinner. The Bible says if. That if. Look at it with me again. Read it with me. That if. I like that. I don't know about you, but I mean, even for us, we don't like the ifs and we don't like to. Maybe I'm going to make you think too much today. All right, but I hope you engaged your brain before you left the house. Maybe last night you charged it up while you slept. He says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he goes on in the scripture and say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jump down with me if you would. He's really between the next two verses. If you jump to 13, in between, he's just saying there's no difference. It don't matter what background you have, what you come from, who your name is, who your daddy was, or what kind of gender you are, male or female, because there isn't any other. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's the same conclusion. The if he comes down for whosoever shall call. He said, if you call, you shall be saved. If you will call, you will be saved. Too many times in this life, we make it. There's so many people that pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are not among those people. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ and not the work that you do. You can't get baptized enough. You can't work enough. You can't be Sunday school teacher enough. You can't be a bus worker enough. You can't sing in the choir enough. You can't sing yourself hoarse enough. You can't practice anything enough to get to heaven. You simply have to humble yourself as a child. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's conditional upon you calling and asking for it. Any man, woman, boy, or child that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it all starts with an if. Do you know that there are millions, and I would rather say billions of people in the world who have salvation readily available and paid for them? The only thing that is stopping them is an if. If they would call, if they would believe, if they would believe enough to call upon the name of the Lord. This same book that we're reading in this morning says, how shall they call if they don't have a preacher? How can they believe if they have not heard? Every other if of the Christian life is predicated upon this if. Because if I will call, it changed me from the inside out. It gave me a different work. It gave me different desires. It gave me a different plan for my life. Listen, you know the people that haven't accepted the if aren't in the building this morning on a regular basis because they don't have the same thing on the inside that you do. They don't realize if they would just call. You may be here this morning and not. You've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus. The greatest decision you'll ever make in all your life. The greatest change that's ever happened in your life. You think maybe you walked in the door this morning and you thought you'd come in here and turn over a new leaf. Leaves don't have anything to do with it. Tea leaves or any other. There's not a tree leaf on planet Earth, not a rubber tree, or that sorry fake tree we got over here. None of those leaves turning over will ever change your eternal position in heaven. But you can accept Jesus if thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You see here in John chapter 15, if you'll turn there with me. You see in chapter 13, Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples in love. He's teaching those that have already believed and called upon his name that the servant is not greater than his master. Do you know sometimes in the Christian life, and I'm not even going to preach this. I'm throwing it out for those of you that maybe want this bone. I'm just telling you, sometimes we get feeling sorry, right? Oh, man, poochy lip, woe is me. I mean, stretch her down way past her chin. I got it so hard. Man, I work so much for the Lord. Do you know when I start stacking my works, even after salvation, that all those things are if you abide in me and I in you that are going to be found in this chapter. He's building to that. He's trying to say, if you stay with me, you ain't going to feel like that. If you walk with me, I'm going to energize you. I'm going to restore you. Now, it doesn't mean we don't wear down, do we? We wear out. But you know, sometimes what we forget is, you know, every time what changes is instead of the complaint of what is going on with me, my circumstances, when I start saying, let me tell you about what he did for me. My Savior left heaven
when he didn't have to. You know, listen, folks, I've not once ever as a Christian ever complained myself into encouragement. Not once. I've never felt better than I have when I praised God. And start talking about, hey, I'm not what I used to be. If I could take you back to the place that he found me, boy, you would be surprised. And I could take you that person, and he heard an if I would call upon the name of the Lord, he'd save me. And it wasn't the last if he gave me. Do you know that's chapter 13? Men that have believed, he said, boy, if you just, here, I'm going to wash your feet, because there's going to be days you wash other people's feet, and you need to remember I washed your feet. That's what he told them. You know what happens? Yes, listen, there's going to be times that you are going to have mercy, peace, joy, love for other people, and you're pouring yourself out for them, and you're going to have to remember, because you're going to get weighed down in it. You know what? You're going to have to remember, God has done this for me. I didn't have any mercy except for the mercy of God that he gave me, and it filled my cup and I poured it out for somebody else. I have no mercy. I don't know mercy until mercy found me. I didn't know grace until God gave grace to me. I didn't have any hope until God gave me hope. I didn't know hope until I found out his name was Jesus Christ, that he had died for me and paid my way to heaven and gave me hope eternal. All because of an if. You see, in chapter 14, he comforts us. Because he knew that in the work and washing feet, nobody, I even talked about this toe ring, none of us like feet. Right? But one of the first things that get weary on us is what carries us all day. What gets the dirtiest is what touches the ground and walks along. In chapter 14, still red letters in your Bible, the apostle whom Jesus loved, penned down, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, all the gospels are different and all given by inspiration, but it's unique what each disciple heard and penned down. It's unique what the Holy Spirit drew out of the file cabinet of their heart of what they watched with Jesus Christ. And John, whom he says the disciple whom Jesus loved, he predicates his whole existence as a disciple or an apostle upon the fact that God loves me. I want to spend my life. I don't want to be a preacher who thinks I got to serve God because I got to get reward. I want to serve God because I'm loved. I want people to realize that my energy, my strength is all predicated in unconditional love. And the only condition was if I would call, if I would choose him. Now, I don't know about you, and I know Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and I'm trying to get to where I want to preach this morning. But help me as I try to get it off the runway this morning. I'm trying to get worked up to it, all right? My wife hates it when I talk about her, but she is the only woman I've ever been married to. She has been the only one that I've ever loved this way, and so I can't help but reference her in all of those things. And although she does not like it, I will reference her again this morning, because she is the only reference I have of being married. Valentine's Day, and when we talk about an unconditional love, we do realize that even though we know that we love each other, you know that our marriages are predicated off of conditions. Even in my vows, I laid out conditions before God that I would be faithful. I'd be true. I'd love, honor, and cherish her in sickness and in health. I promised her I would do that. I promised her before God that I would do those things. Those are conditions of my love for her. Now, that doesn't mean those are the only conditions. There are other things that she expects of me. Right? Come on now. But when we talk about unconditional love, you know that Jesus, when he references his church in Ephesians, he talks about it that as a husband loves his wife and gave himself Do you know the unsacrificial? The sacrificial. Not selfish, unselfish, sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ should picture the marriage relationship, a man for his wife. Valentine's Day, you know, they don't have this, I don't want flowers. I am a man, and I realize every one of them jokers are dead, even though they're still looking and smelling good. Somebody cut them already. They ain't never coming back, right? I look at that like, man, don't bring me flowers, you know? My wife one time sent me a cookie bouquet, and they didn't taste that good. I wish she had made me cookies, but she wanted to send me something like when I send her flowers. I'm just going to tell you, it don't do the same for me when she sends me flowers when I send her flowers. It's two totally different things because we're different people. Do you know it's the same way with God and me? You know the blessings that God gives me? He don't need me to give him blessings back. He owns everything. We've laid a foundation over the last three Sundays about God can and who God and what God hath for the Christian. And we've had a foundation laid that we realize who God is. And he don't need me to work up something for him. He's all powerful. What he wants from me is me to tell him, you don't need me. You're all powerful. You know what gets and brings him praise? When I humble myself and I keep his commandments. That's where the Bible is going in chapter 15. He lays out all the comforts and everything. Do you know when we get married, I sat down with my wife and I loved her and I talked about all my hopes and dreams, all the things. But in every one of those things, folks, every hope and dream I've ever had, even what I do now in the ministry, she is always a part of that. Do you know that every hope and dream that God has ever had has always had you in it? And he wants you to be a part with him. And we miss that because sometimes we think God will go on with me anyway. Well, he didn't. He sent his son to die for you to redeem you back into himself. When our whole human race went astray, he consistently, over and over again, sends people. When we get astray like a sheep, he sends a pastor or a loved one or somebody to get us and to try to bring us back into himself. He gives the Word of God that tries to comfort us. He gave us the Holy Spirit of God to live in us, the Spirit of truth to lead us into truth, to comfort us according to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 15, he comes to a place where he says, and look at it with me if you would, in verse 4, abide in me. He has predicated the argument off of verse 1, I am the true vine. He has been speaking much about who he is. I am. Not you and me, but Jesus. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, I don't understand if you understand this or not, but I got married, and in a love relationship, one of the dreams that we had together were to bear fruit of the two of us coming together, and that was children. I got to speak on Friday about grandchildren, and I did not realize that somewhere deep inside of a man was a hole that was reserved for the love to be filled of his grandchildren. I didn't know it until just recently when I had one. And I realized, man, there's a whole nother area here that love pours out of, that is a different kind of love, and it's for my grandchildren. God is the one that is the one that produces that. God is the one that has that right. God is the one that gives me that, and abiding in him. Do you know what the marriage relationship on earth pictures? A marriage relationship with God, our relationship with him. So if my purpose in the Christian life is supposed to kind of picture that, he tells the husband and the wife to be fruitful and multiply. He tells the Christian, you married me, let's be fruitful and multiply. See, I can't do any saving. God does all the saving. But I can go and tell them about the if that I accepted. I can tell them about the one that I am in love with. I can tell them about who is, and I can abide in him. Do you know what most people, when they see marriage, there are people that picture marriage and people run in the opposite direction. I don't want a marriage like that. But there are others, when they're abiding together, and I'll tell you men this for Valentine's Day, in wisdom. That means buy those flowers that are already dead. Buy chocolates that you will never eat. Right? And take her to dinner somewhere you don't want to go. Why? Because it's sacrificial love. I'm going to go where she wants to go. I'm going to get her things that she likes. I'm just telling you, you know that so much of the Christian life, abiding in him, so much of what God does is to bless me because he loves me. He says here, look at verse number 4, abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know that this same statement in the ministry, I'm reminded that my wife and my family is my first ministry. Without them, I can do nothing. I wouldn't have a ministry. That's what God gave me first. And then God blessed me with more and more and more. And they're number one. And if I serve them correctly, then the church and others can see that I can serve them as well. And it grows and it builds, but the same idea is with God. For without God, without Jesus Christ in my life and the power and abiding in him, I can do nothing. I have no ministry. What am I going to try to get done? And spiritually speaking, without Jesus Christ in my life, what are you going to do in your own flesh? You think you're going to see any kind of results if you try to serve God in your flesh? No. You have to abide in him. He goes on, and that the first if is found here. I want you to see this in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You think that this is about, there are people that teach that people are losing their salvation here. Hogwash and applesauce. That is far from the truth. If you didn't do anything to get it except for accept it, then you're not going to lose it because of something you did. Because even that, the work or what the lack of the work that you would think is sin. Sin is going to drive you away when God forgave all your sin. That is a terrible argument. Sin is going to draw me away from God when God drew near to me and forgave me when I called upon his name. That's foolishness. But here, if I don't abide in the vine, God is simply telling me, do you know if I stay and dwell with my wife with wisdom, I can have a happy marriage. I can be blessed. You can look at my family tree, and it isn't like West Virginia going straight up. It will branch out. I'm sorry for all of you from West Virginia. I know it's really Kentucky. Anyway, so. And we kid around about it, right? But I'm talking about, we realize this is a vine, and the vine continues to grow and to produce fruit, and it abides in the vine, and it gives it all its strength and nutrients to produce fruit. The power is always in the vine, and we must abide in it. And the problem with this is so many times, what happens to a marriage? They don't abide together. They don't have the same goals anymore. They don't have the same loves. Instead of love, and what I would consult, when we talk about unconditional love, that means that a sacrificial love that gives to the other person, what you find is selfishness. Give me, instead of a giving relationship, giving one to another. And we find here, he says, if a man abide not in me, that means, doesn't mean God let go of you. It means when you let go of staying close to God and you walk the way you think you ought to walk. Because he's building an argument, because he's going to say, if you keep my commandments. So abiding in him is more than just keeping commandments of God. It's a personal relationship that we entered into at salvation, and one we keep consistent. Because see, God here is speaking about a relationship, and if you're not careful, you'll make your relationship God all about commandments. Okay? How do you think my marriage relationship would go if all my wife heard from me instead of abiding with me was, make me a sandwich, woman. Keep my commandments. Make me a sandwich. How long do you think that marriage will last? Not very long. Because it's all commandment. It's not abiding together. It's not a oneness. You say, do you ever make supper? My kids don't like it when I make supper. I don't mind it that much, and my wife really does like it. Amen? Because she didn't have to do it, right? But I'm a man, so if it's dinner, it goes outside on the grill. Just sharing, you know, fire. Anyway, so. All right, either that or I pick up fried chicken. Amen? So. I didn't want anybody to forget. Anyway, so. So we're abiding. He continues the thought and the argument when he goes to verse number 7. And he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. He makes it, he explains what he's talking about. It's not being cast out. It's that is the picture of the Christian who doesn't walk in God's word. You're going to feel like you're separated. You're going to feel like a branch that's broken off and cast out. You're going to say, why have you forsaken me, God, when all the time God's word is there to bless, heal, and help your soul? But you didn't stay in it. You didn't abide in it. He says, if ye, in verse 7, abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Do you know, I have a daughter who will be my Valentine for a few years now. And I threaten every boy that's around here to try to make her their Valentine. She's going to be 14 this year, so I realize that I'm going to have to make harder threats. And so, right? And scare them a little bit. That again, I'm going to start wearing a t-shirt, right? God, guns, and gospel 9.3, right? Amen? But the idea here that the scripture gives us is, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Do you know, a giving relationship is what I see right here. When we picture the marriage relationship, it ought to be, at least it was, I remember, you say, well, preacher, you're awful naive. No, if you go back to that sweet early marriage, you wanted to please the other person. Both sets of people in the marriage relationship wanted to know what the other person wants. What typically happens in every marriage relationship is that the woman forgets that the man she married is oblivious. And instead of giving coy hints about what she wants, she should just come out and say it. Because we don't get better as we get older, we get more oblivious. I'm just trying to help everybody's marriage this morning as well as preach the gospel. But we do, right? We want, I can say this, we typically, sometimes we want them, we have abided together so long, we think the other person should know what we're thinking. You know, even God doesn't want you to just think it. He wants you to say it. He wants to hear from you. A close relationship requires more than just hearing. It requires you saying. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Good marriage relationships. You watch that, and even Esther. And again, not a marriage relationship that most of us would want. Esther walks in into the king, and I mean, he's like, you can ask anything you want up to half of the kingdom. You just ask and it'll be done for you. Listen, I'm just telling you, you know, as a husband, when my love is right, it isn't half the kingdom she can have. She can have anything she wants. If it is within my power to make it happen, that is my heart's desire. And if I can feel that as a man for my wife, then what does Jesus Christ feel for his church? He says, if you abide with me and you walk in my words and my words abide in you, ask what you want and see if I won't do it. Do you know if his words abide in you, you won't ask for things that are outside of his will. You won't ask for $1 million to spend upon yourself. You may ask for $1 million to give to missions. You may ask for something that you know is because his words abide in you. So you know what the right things to ask are. You know what is within his power and within his will. And you can ask for anything you want. And God can do it for you. That is not a prosperity gospel. That is a relationship that the church has with its Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All predicated off an if. I want you to go down. There's some more ifs in the chapter, and I must hasten. He says, herein is my Father glorified. Isn't that something? When I let the word of God abide in me, and I abide in him, and I ask what is inside of his will, and God answers, it glorifies God. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Look it in here. I want you to see it. The first one is if ye abide in me. Now the second, if ye. He says in verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, he made it so much simpler, and we forget that his commandments come from his words and from his word. And if his word, see, we don't feel like, think about this. I want you to put this in your mind, and I'm hoping that it'll help you. You can take it home with you. His words don't sound oppressive. But in the middle, if my fruit is right and my love is right, in verse 9, as the Father loved me, so love now you. Continue ye in my love, if ye keep my commandments. Do you know that we understand commandments are not a burden, but are always there for safety? They're always there for protection. There are places that are put in that these are hard and fast rules that we keep as a family. You know, families have rules. They have things that we ought not do. And here in God's family, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I don't know about you, but all these other conditional things, he says, if you keep my words in you and you keep my commandments, there's not an if, then I shall. So if I learn God's commandments and I keep his commandments, it is, why would I do that? Because I desperately want to abide in God. I desperately want to abide in his relationship. So why do I keep his commandments? Because I want the shall abide, not conditional, I could abide. I have to struggle to abide. When I keep his commandments, I shall abide with God. Do you know what a relationship that, you know, I can only say this about my own. I don't know about yours. But divorce is not an option in my marriage. Even though the law in the world has written a letter of divorcement, I didn't find it in the book. It's never something that God wanted for me. And so if I abide and I follow and do God's will, you say, it happens. I know. I look out on an audience of people, I'm broken as much as you are. None of you entered into marriage wanting that. None of you are where you are today and say, well, preacher, I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just telling you that in a marriage relationship, if you're a young married couple in this place, it ought not be a word that you leave in your dictionary. It ought to be abide. Not making conditions about how you'll stay, but trying to make the conditions better. Trying to love the way you did when you entered into the marriage relationship and keep the promises that you made the other person. You know, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus says, I'm not doing anything that I was not asked of me and what I kept while I was with you. He came and kept the commandments of his Father. A beautiful example. Wonderful example to the Christian. He says in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you." Do you realize abiding in God and keeping his commandments? He makes our joy dependent upon commandments. The reason God has commanded us to live a separated, holy life is so that we might have joy. Because he realizes there's none in the world. He says, I've commanded you this. And I practiced this. In verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have joy, that my joy might remain, and that your joy might be full." The balance of the Christian life, I don't know about you, but I got married to be joyful, not sorrowful, not miserable. Do you know my dad used to tell me marriage is a great institution, but it also is a mental institution? That's what my dad told me. Right? But I mean, you know, we think about the foundation of that, but when the purpose of our marriage relationship is always dialed up to joy, you know, we'd probably act differently. Because when we always turn away or we have something, or we even for myself, I can say honestly, anytime my marriage is not what it ought to be, I choose something for me instead of something for us. I can't tell you today that at no time keeping God's commandments are going to ruin your marriage. Never. Because that's going to bring you joy. He finishes with this. He builds this entire argument. This is my commandment. So he tells us to keep his commandment and his words. And then he's like, because again, you study the New Testament, and he's going to hang all the law and the prophets on this statement that he's about to make. This is my commandment. He hangs all the Old Testament commandments on love. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus knows what he's about to do. He has just told them, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. He's predicated that in the previous chapter, and now he lays a foundation that I'm going to lay my life down for you. In verse 15, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The big if of the Christian joy, the Christian life, the Christian love. We often talk about our church as a family. You know, and I know there are people, they come into the building and I think sometimes because of the size of the number of people in here, do you know, I've not seen it. The smaller the family, sometimes the smaller the joy. You don't often find a big family that are all hating each other. The bigger the family, usually I find the bigger the joy. The more they love each other, the more they enjoy each other, the more they serve together. And somehow we think the bigger the church gets, the harder it's going to be to have joy. Loving your neighbor or loving your brother in Christ it's not more work the more brothers and sisters you have. There's more love to go around. There's more people, yes. And it's hard because the west side don't know the east side. Right? And you wonder what those people do on that side over there. Right? And we laugh about that. But here it says, if ye do. Do you know that the Christian life, this Christian life, he follows through this because he's going to build this up. Why is it important that we love each other? Because he realizes by verse 18, if they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And you've got to understand, if you are a child of God this morning, that it is us against the world. And that's not because of us, because we're trying to get the world to be like us. But the world is mad because we're not like them. That's why they were mad at Jesus Christ. And while they will continue to be mad with the church until Jesus comes for it. You say, preacher, why is it important that we abide in Christ? Because of our church. To keep his commandment of loving the brethren one another. Why is it important? Because the world hates us. And that hatred is not going to get less and less as Jesus comes. It's going to get worse and worse. And I desperately need to come into the house of God and find love because I don't find it out in the world. I need to come in here and my brethren encourage me because I'm not encouraged out there. I'm discouraged. I need to walk in the church house and realize and get a energizing shot in the arm, not just for me, but for my family and for the family of God, because I got to go back out and face the world again. I'm going to tell people about the one who died for me. And hopefully they, if they will accept him, they could be a part of the same place and join the same crowd and have the same love I have. But if not, verse 19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Folks, the simple truth of it is today, this is a conditional relationship. There's conditions. And a lot of times we hang it on love, and it is. The condition is love. But when we love the way God wants us to love, he says the result of that love is joy. So why do I love? Why do I praise instead of complain? Because I want to have joy. Why do I come to church and listen to his words and let his words go through my heart and encourage me? Because I want to have joy. I want my children to have joy. I want the church to be full of joy. I want it to be full. I want people that live in my same town, that go to my same church, to know that I love them. Do you know when you show up for people, they know you love them? You know, if you're not in here, people are going to wonder. You know what you wondered this morning? Where in the world is Brother Perkins? Because you love him. You wanted to know where he was. And you know that he loves you. And if he was able to be here, he would have been here in his place. And that does not happen in the world. That is reserved for the believer. Now it says the world would love his own. But you know why the world don't come looking for you? Because they think you're crazy. They think you're off your rocker and that you are a part of somebody. I mean a body of believers. And you are. Today, if ye. Do you know I thought about the Christian life can be boiled down to if ye. If you would abide in Jesus Christ, oh, what a life you could live. If you would keep his words or his commandments, oh, the prayers you could get answered. If you would just listen, if you would do what he's asked you to do. And he said, what does he ask? Even here, do you know he predicates the love of the brethren as much fruit? You'd bear much fruit. Do you know if you love your brother right, when your brother says, let's go soul one, and you'll go with him? You love your brother in Christ right? When he needs to move, guess who's going to be there to help him move? His car breaks down. Who's going to show up with jumper cables? Hey, folks, I look out across the crowd, and I realize this. The whole message, this conditional, it's not conditioned on your works to be saved. It's conditions off the works of Jesus Christ. And after you're saved, he says, abide in me. You know, he redeemed us back into himself. Why did he redeem you back into himself? Because he wanted you close. He wanted close fellowship with you. Why does he want you to keep his commandments? Because he wants you to have joy. Why did he die and give you a place, a church? Because he wants you to love the brethren. Because it brings us joy on a consistent basis. This morning, I don't know what you're facing. I realize Valentine's Day, for some of us, it's just a day we're going to go out and get something to eat with the person that we love. But for some of you, it reminds you of people that you've lost. And the people that you desperately are going to look to are the people sitting next to you in this building who love you. Hey, you know what I'm talking about this morning. For those, some of you, that things have changed since last year, for whatever, in your relationships, Valentine's Day. Do you know the best people to cling a hold of and talk to on a tough day like Valentine's Day when things have changed? Is somebody who loves you. And that somebody, I guarantee you, you'll find inside of this building. Somebody who's your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. Somebody that can uplift your spirit, not in worldly wisdom, but in the commandments of God and words of God. This morning, the invitation is this. Maybe your love's not right. It could be in your personal relationship. It could be in your spiritual relationship with God. It could be a lost relationship that is breaking your heart. The invitation is for you to come and give it to God. Come and abide in Him. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him give you joy. Let Him answer the prayer while you're abiding in Him. Maybe you're here this morning. You're here and you don't know Jesus. You've never entered into this relationship by the if. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Maybe this morning you need to accept Christ as your Savior by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. If that's what you need to do, I'll meet you in the front this morning. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a Christian and your heart is burdened with something else that we mentioned this morning, why don't you come and just talk to God? This is His people and His house. Abide in Him this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we stand to our feet, the musicians will come. This is an old-fashioned invitation. I'm going to pray. And if you're like that, you need to be saved or you need to step out, just come. Come now as we pray. Dear God, we beg You to do a work. Holy Spirit of God, I pray You do what I cannot do. You draw the souls of men unto Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Bow your heads with me this morning in the auditorium. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that means you've never had that if where you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart. This morning's an opportunity for you to step out and walk down the aisle. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, how you can know for sure that you're in Jesus Christ. If you want to do that this morning, we'd welcome you. While heads are bowed and folks are praying, you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee. Oh. just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come.
Folks have come. Maybe you still need to come. Maybe you're here and you've been holding on. You know that you need to come to Christ through just confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart. Why don't you step out and come while there's time in the invitation this morning? Why don't you step out and come? Would you sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right. I appreciate you being patient with us. You may be seated out in the audience. And Brother Roberts, why don't you guys just come right up here? That way you don't have to sit down first. Brother Jerry, Miss Karen, and Caitlin are all wanting to come and join our church by statement of their belief in baptism in Jesus Christ. How many of you would have welcomed them into our fellowship with their upraised hand? Amen. And so carried. And then Austin. Austin is coming this morning. He's been saved. Come on up here with me, Austin. And he's been saved and wants to join the church through baptism. How many would welcome him into the fellowship this morning? Brother Leo, you guys can go ahead and take him back. And then also, we have Alicia Moore. She's coming this morning. She's been saved, and she wants to join the church through baptism this morning. And everyone that welcome her in the fellowship, amen, with upraised hand. And you can take Miss Moore around as well. Brother Jerry, if you guys will be seated. And after we get done with baptism, if you guys would stand back up and let the church welcome you in with a hand, right hand to fellowship. If you want to shake with your left hand, you can do that too. All right, Brother Burr.
Amen. This has been a great morning already. Let's take our hymn books now and turn to number 79. Number 79, I love this song in the wintertime in Florida because it reminds us of snow up north. But we're not just thinking about regular snow. It's our lives are washed whiter than snow. Amen? On the first verse. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every
whiter than snow, whiter than snow. I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. My faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
All right, Miss Alicia, according to your faith in Jesus Christ, I do baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Amen. I do baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
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 Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. We've done as the Lord has commanded. We'll pray and we'll go. Thank you for being here today. We hope you'll come back tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have some missionaries with us that are from the Caribbean, and we just want to introduce those folks to you. They're in for a big conference up in Orlando. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for these that have joined our church this morning, Lord, some through baptism, others by statement. God, I thank you for adding and multiplying to your church. Help us, Lord, to be a church that loves and abides in you. In Jesus' name, amen.